Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Coming to you live from downtown Detroit, this is Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep.
Good morning, everybody. We had some technical snafus today. I will explain why in a second. Welcome to Pre-Market Prep. I'm Spencer. You can tell by my beautiful mug. There's Dennis. There's Joel. First, I will turn my camera on for a moment so you can see that I'm home right now. The problem is my little puny home computer can't really handle showing with the camera on. So I'm home. The reason I'm home and not at the office is because, drum roll please, I have COVID. So I've been diagnosed, confirmed two times with COVID-19. So for the next 10 days, actually 8 days, because it's from the start of your symptoms, which is for me on Monday, I will be confined to my house, my apartment, and I'll be stuck here. And that's the situation. So we're going to roll with the punches for the next week or so, because I'm going to be here. Right now I'm working off of a laptop with two screens, and we're going to do our best. Joel and Dennis and Mitch, we're all going to power through. I am feeling okay. You've probably heard me.
What are your symptoms?
Well, I've got this little nagging cough, which you'll probably hear, which I've had this since Monday. I'm congested, which you can maybe also hear, though I do feel noticeably better today than I was yesterday. Yesterday I did not feel great. In hindsight, shouldn't have gone to the office, and that's something that I will have to live with. But I've not had a fever. I have not had any breathing problems. And I have asthma, which is, so that's concerning. But no, just the cough and the congestion, some sinus pressure, and a little bit of neck pain, which when I was at the urgent care yesterday, the second one, because I went to two, the second one, she said, yeah, neck pain is a common thing with the Delta variant, apparently. Here's what she said yesterday when we got there. Here's what happened. I went and I got a COVID test yesterday at like noon, and it came back positive at like 3 o'clock or 3:30. And I was like, I'm gonna get another one just to be safe. So I want to get a second one. And when I went to the second place, we told them, it was me and Ariel, my fiance, and we were both there to get tested. And I got the Johnson & Johnson. She got the Moderna. And the doctor said, oh, Moderna, that's great. I've only seen one breakthrough case with a Moderna vaccine. Well, what do you know? Now she's seen two. So, and then she asked what I got, Pfizer or Moderna? And I went, neither. I got Johnson & Johnson. And she went, ooh, that's interesting. And I went, wait, why is that interesting? And so, but basically she just hasn't seen a lot of Johnson & Johnson vaccines. But she was like, yeah, you probably have COVID right off the bat. But anyway, so she'd only seen one Moderna breakthrough case and before yesterday, and now she's seen two. So that's the story, Morning Glory. And
how's Ariel?
She's fine. She has – her only symptom is starting this morning. She's a little bit congested. But she had nothing yesterday, nothing the day before. We don't know where we got it, anything like that. But we will be staying home for the next 10 days. And I can't really see the chat right now because I don't have the screen space. So thank
they
you.
They want you to feel better.
I'll okay. Thank you to everyone. I assume that you're all saying nice things.
Yes, they are.
And again, I turned my camera on just to show you that I'm alive and well, but my computer literally can't handle the camera right now. So that's the story.
Have you guys been eating out in restaurants at all?
We do that. Yes. Okay. I mean, yeah. So it's possible I got it from there. We saw some of her family over the weekend. Could have been them. Could have been the office for all I know. I don't know.
Can I ask you one question?
You can.
Did you have to get COVID on my birthday?
Well, ruin your birthday.
Technically, I did.
Call me during
it.
My birthday dinner.
I apologize. I technically didn't get it on your birthday. I just got it diagnosed on your birthday. But that's the situation.
Boy.
So if you were, planning on going to New York next week to see me, I may or may not be there. My quarantine does end Wednesday night/Thursday morning. So TBD on whether I'll be there. But that's next week. But again, I wish I could see that. You know what? I can bring up the
chat. I got one question coming from the chat.
Yeah.
Regeneron? What's up, Spencer?
Oh, so I am going to get at Lisa's behest, I am going to get the monoclonal antibody treatment today because I qualify for that.
What about Ariel?
Because you have asthma?
Because I have asthma. She has no pre-existing conditions, so I don't know if she can qualify.
But you're going to get it? You already called?
I have to call them after we're done.
Call them.
Hold on. My computer may be doing some weird things right now. But I'm trying to pull up the chat with very limited screen space. So anyway, that's the story. That's why the show got off to a slow start. That's why my camera was not on. There's my computer being weird again.
Okay. So.
Well, we're glad you're feeling good, Spencer. You sound good. Obviously, it seems like the vaccines are somewhat working for you guys because neither of you are very sick so far. So,
definitely. I mean, that was a concern of mine the entire time. Is I have a pre-existing lung condition, and this is a lung disease, but I have no breathing problems. I have no wheezing, none of that. So, I'm feeling like pretty encouraged. That's basically the story. That being said, David, what? Don't worry. Okay, I can see the chat now. David, I'm going to get some equipment today, I hope, from the office. I will be better equipped.
Hey, Spencer, if you need anything, let me know. I can go get it and leave it on your doorstep.
I thought you were going to say call Dennis.
No. I was going to say call Lisa, but she's got a busy day.
Appreciate it.
Let me know if you guys need anything.
Appreciate it. Thank you. All right. Thank you, everyone in the chat. Let's get to the markets here, Joel.
Boy. Down 42.25 handles, 42.91.75. I'll save the market talk for when Triple D comes on here in a minute.
I'm on right now.
Well. Crude down 65 cents, 78.28. Gold down 220, 17.58.50. Silver in the red by 20 cents at 22.41. Bitcoin, 52 handle, 52K, 52.110, up 480. Ethereum going the other way, down 3%. I would keep an eye on that, Bitcoin bulls, because that's been the leader. That's down $110 or $34.14. I'm going to bring up the S&P chart here. And we had a couple inside days, and we have a trading range. And Mitch and I were on at 330, 340 yesterday, and I was just talking about, wow, all these highs in the same area and all these lows in the same area. And it looked like we were just, it looked okay. And then late in the day, man, someone came in with their selling shoes on, and they haven't let up. So, Dennis, we're at the, down, up 40 handles, you sell it, down 40 handles, you buy it. I just don't know how long. I think this time, I don't think we're going to get back up to that 43.60 area. I think this is a really interesting day because the market has been knocked down and it's come back. And this is going to be really like the fourth try. So support is support until it's broken. And we've been in the trading range, but man, oh man, what a choppy start to the quarter.
I mean, you look at that chart though, and it's very clear. That range is very clear, and you have it has not paid to chase any move. We're gonna say it again. This we've been saying this for a month, even months. We've been saying this for 2-3 months. It's been the fade trade market, the contrarian market, the selling of the rips, the buying of the dips. If you're buying the rips and selling the dips, you are losing money to the people who are doing it the right way. So, I mean, this last 4 or 5 days is just a perfect example of what this market has been for a long time. That, you know, the market with no memory, we go up 50, down 50. So if we look at the last 4 days, down 60 handles, up 60 handles, down 60 handles, up 50, 60 handles. Today, down 50 handles. I mean, the trend is your friend. And the trend right now is no trend. The trend is just fade everything. So, I mean, am I coming in and buying some stocks today? Probably. Am I putting anything in my long-term portfolio? No, because I'm nervous about this market overall too, Joel. But as a trader, I'm still buying dips, selling rips until further notice.
Yeah, and we didn't even get to those lows. One thing that, we have just a great guest on, and it's always great having Ryan on because that man does his homework. And he showed us that one chart, you know, where after every 5% correction, where the market has been in 6 months, right? And it's pretty bullish. I mean, what he showed us in that chart. And then I asked him, I'm like, well, are any of those times is the market coming off a double in 18 months? And he said no. And I'm looking at this monthly chart and it just looks like we got a couple more red candles coming. I mean, we just, you know, if we hold flat, it's fine. But one red candle usually begets another red candle. We haven't had that in so long. So I was on the edge on Monday. We went down. Tuesday, we battled back. Now, boom, knock us down again. I mean, I don't know how many times we can hit this floor and bounce. But as we speak, we're 17 handles off the low. So let's, you know, go with what has been happening instead of constantly, you know, trying to predict. And right now,
yeah, well, that's it. Go support. With the information you have. And this information is that we're just chopping around. But I will tell you, there's not a lot of places to hide here this morning. So looking to my trusty S&P filter here, I see Biogen trading higher. I see Zynga. I don't know if it's in the S&P, but I have some of my select stocks in there. So I shouldn't say S&P filter. I had 1,000 stocks in this filter. It's all small mid caps and mega caps. And there's literally 3 stocks trading higher. And I can give you the 2 of me right now. They're Biogen, Teva, and Zynga. Out of 1,000 stocks in the filter. 1,000. Yeah. There's 3 that are trading higher. So obviously, there's more stocks than that. These are just, you know, the mega caps that I'm looking at. And I shouldn't say these are bid higher because my filter is looking at bids. So there may be an outside trade where something traded higher. Like, for instance, a WY ticked higher. It's not bid higher, though. So it's probably just somebody like, oops, I just bought that thing flat and probably going to lose money. So I don't know. No place to hide here today. You know, we've been talking about gold as a hedge, you know, and how it has not been working. Again, it doesn't work. You know, you get the market significant sell-off. This happens 3 years ago, gold dripping higher. Not in this market. Gold just kind of goes with the flow too and just cannot seem to catch a rally. And like we've been saying, if it doesn't want to go up in this inflationary environment, when is it going to go up? So it doesn't play defense. It doesn't, you know, go up in inflation. I don't know why to own it then unless it's going to be a Johnny-come-lately catch-up trade here where all money managers are looking for a home. But it's been difficult to be long and bullish gold too, because it's just going down with the overall market as well. I don't know what to say. A part of me wants to go buy stocks like in the long-term portfolio because there is some stocks that we do like. There is some stocks that are getting fairly cheap, but it seems like every time I stick something in the long-term portfolio 3 days later, I'm not happy that I did that. Exact opposite of 2020. You stick something in your long-term portfolio 3 days later, you're happy that you did that. So it's tricky. I mean, what are you looking at, Joel? Are you looking at buying anything or you're just playing off here right now?
No.
In weakness, we're supposed to be looking for buying opportunities.
But
we do believe that Spencer could be correct with his analysis that we make new highs. We're going to want to add a few stocks. I kind of want to buy BABA. Again, I want to try. I have BABA in the long-term portfolio. I kind of want to buy it for a swing trade for the simple reason is that it wanted to go up yesterday. And now the market knocks it back down. You have the level to lean on, 138.43. But then I think, okay, well, overnight risk. is significant always in China. You know, we all of a sudden we don't know where Jack Ma is, or some bad headline comes and it falls 10 bucks in your face. But I mean, it kind of wanted to go up yesterday. It was its first healthy candle, closed fairly strong, and then the market knocks it back down. Same thing with Nike. Nike, like you were saying, Joel, got a rating yesterday, a buy rating. It was trading higher, looking good, and our market knocks it back down. So those were two stocks that kind of wanted to go higher that are getting knocked back down by the overall market. And that's what I'm looking, you know, as trading opportunities. I look for what was strong yesterday. And if I'm buying the dip, I want to, the strength usually goes back into those stocks. Another one is General Motors. Very strong yesterday, strong after hours yesterday. They do have their Investors Day coming up. I think it's this week. If it's not, do you know Spencer in the background?
It's,
do you know
when the GM? Well, it's a multi-day event. I think tomorrow's the big day.
Tomorrow. So we have an event for a run-up into an event. But again, if the market just, you know, continues to puke here this morning, obviously none of that's going to work. So a lot of times what I do, and I'll talk about this on October 16th, is if I think there's an event where a stock, you know, might run up into it, what I do is I buy the stock and short, you know, the equivalent of beta hedge SPY against it. Because then, you know, I'm protecting myself in the event that the market continues to sell off to a certain extent. So that's how I trade market neutral. So trying to extract the clean alpha from the event run-up. And if you did that overnight on General Motors, you're actually making money because GM's only down 0.24% and the SPY is down 1.1%. They were also talking it up on Fast Money last night, which helped. So there is some stocks that I'm interested in. But again, you know, you're in a market environment that there's a hell of a lot of uncertainty and a lot of risk. So keep that in mind.
They're blaming. I mean, it's still the inflation story again. And
what else is there to blame? And they're right. I mean, it is. Everything's the inflation. Everything's the inflation problem, really, to a certain extent. I mean, yeah, we have a COVID. We have a pandemic. We have a lot of other issues happening. But there's a serious inflation problem. And it is getting talked about on CNBC 25 times a day. So there is no doubt that everybody, you know, has been notified that, hey, we've got some inflation going on. And you're seeing it, you know, Hostess going up on their bags of chips. I mean, there is inflation everywhere. The natural inflation defense is commodities. So commodities have performed fairly well besides gold. But you've seen oil strong. You've seen, you know, and I was buying some steel stocks. That's something else I would be buying on the pullback today. I mean, Cleveland Cliffs is catching an upgrade from Goldman Sachs this morning. I own Cleveland Cliffs. It's in the long-term portfolio. I put it back in there at 19.5. Lots of lows down there. You get in the low 20s. I don't mind it here. If we're going into this big bear sell-off, everything's going to get hit. I'm not a full believer. I don't have that information yet, so I still want to own some stock. So, yes, I'm still looking at commodities, buying those stocks on pullbacks. Not oil because I hate oil.
It's look where we're at in relay. I'm going to go to the cash index here. I mean, for the most part, I mean, we're at all time highs. I mean, what we're, you know, now what 250 handles off it, but still, I mean, if you've been investing, forget about this run up here, but for all these years, I mean, you know, and you can't, I know you can't take profits, long-term portfolio.
Where else are you going though, Joel? Tell me where. I turn around and I sell all my stocks. What am I investing in? The real estate market, which I do invest in real estate, is a bigger bubble than the stock market in most places. It's not cheap. You know, the houses around me are in Ontario, so where I live, housing prices apparently went up 32% year over year. In one year, they went up 32%. You're going to buy now?
I don't know.
Where am I going? If I go to cash, I lose to inflation. If I go into bonds, I'm picking up like, okay, I'm going to some preferred stocks. I'm get 6%, you know, in a couple of preferred stocks, which I do own. But then again, you know, an Enbridge, which was featured last night on Mad Money, I own that too. You get a 6% dividend. It's pretty nice utility stock. I don't mind that. But at the same time, you're not doing very much better than inflation right now because we're running 5-6%. So, you know, yes, they can say we're running 2%, but that's BS. We're actually probably running significantly hotter than that. So, I mean, the only place where, you know, you think you're going to be probably keeping up at least is to own physical assets. You know, that's why I was saying commodities maybe, but it's very difficult to come in here and just sell all your stocks and move to cash in an inflationary environment.
Bitcoin just jumped again here. We're up a G now.
Well, there you go. That's an inflation trade too, though. So Bitcoin is an inflation hedge. You know, we don't know if Bitcoin, you know, fundamentals, values, you know, and intrinsic value, there really isn't much there. It's got value because everybody else deems it has value. But I own a little bit of Bitcoin. I own a little bit more Ethereum because of the utility. But those are inflation hedges as well. At least people are playing them as inflation hedges. Are they going to work in the long run? It depends, you know, if this Bitcoin thing continues to catch on. But, you know, I went into the local Canadian Tire. People can make fun of me there. I was getting my brakes changed. And in the background, there's two people, you know, at the Canadian Tire workers, and they were talking about Bitcoin. I mean, the one guy's like saying, oh, yeah, I've bought some Bitcoin. I mean, so you can interpret that in two ways. Is, you know, Main Street, you know, late to the party, and they're just buying Bitcoin now, and this is the top? Or is it starting to catch on that other people are coming in and Bitcoin's starting to go mainstream, where everybody's starting to hear about Bitcoin and is interested, you know, and maybe if they're interested, they're going to start buying as well. So it used to be just pockets of, you know, the people. You would go out, if you went 2 years ago and went on the street and asked a random person about Bitcoin, they wouldn't know anything about it, if they've even heard of it. That's not the case anymore. So Bitcoin has been heard of by most people. I think if you go to a random person in the street, I think 90% of people are going to at least heard of Bitcoin.
I think more than 90.
I bet. And I'm being conservative, yeah, I think, when I say 90%. So, you know, there's a number of ways to interpret that. But we talked about Bitcoin 2.5 years ago on this show. And we kind of, you know, and we had James Angel on the show, and we thought it might just fizzle out eventually, which it kind of did. But you know what? It came back. It didn't go away. And it's been too long now, in my opinion, to just think it's going to fizzle out. So does it end in a fiery crash? It might. But that's why I'm just putting speculative capital in it. But you know what? If people believe in this, and you know we're getting other countries adopting it now, I mean, there's a bull case there. And, you know, I'm somewhat of a believer. I hated Bitcoin forever. We know on this show, I turned around and got bullish at 10,000. And that's when I turned around. I didn't buy it then. I should have bought it then. I ended up buying it at 17,000. So I don't know. I'm sticking with it. It is an inflation. It helps that too. So commodities, crypto helps to a certain extent. But they are risk assets, and all these things are risk assets. And if you're thinking an impending crash is coming, you don't want to own anything except cash. I don't know if the crash is coming, which is why I stay invested.
I don't think there's a crash coming. I just think there'd be, you know, there doesn't always have to be crashes. There, you know, there just could be, you know, orderly sell-offs. And I think that's more likely for the, at least for the remainder of the year. I think also looming, you know, you say, don't fight the Fed. Well, you know, the Fed rates may be going up. So if you're going to go with that, then, you know, maybe it's time. But like you said, Dennis, you know, where do you go? Where do you hide? There's nowhere to hide.
You've got to go into risk assets, because if you're going into commodities, you're going into crypto, those are risk assets. You're not going to make any money going into, you know, and if you think bonds are safe, if you think the TLT is safe, I'm going to say it here again. I believe, and I said this on the show at 151, I believe the TLT is going to eventually be under that low of the year 133. I would not be surprised if the TLT loses, you know, 20-25% from here. I think, and if you're looking at that, then you want to be, if you think the TLT is going to weaken that much, you want to be long banks. You know, banks are not expensive. They've been hiding. I mean, if we look at anything that is performing in this market, it has been the banks. JP Morgan made new all-time highs 2 days ago. The banks have been performing. So if you go back to your basic economics courses here, it is working. You know, where interest rates impact, you know, banks want higher rates. There's no doubt that they want higher rates. And you know what? I think they're going to get them, because, you know, the Fed can control low, and the Fed isn't coming and raising rates. We're not saying rates are going to 4, 5, 6, 7% again.
No way.
But they're going to start ticking higher, and they are ticking higher, and you're seeing it in the bonds. So I don't want to own any bonds. I don't want to own any treasuries at 1.5%. I mean, I'm losing guaranteed to inflation. I think I'm going to lose on my capital as well, because I think those bond prices are going lower.
Hey, here's some perspective for you. On this day, I think it was in 1978, Paul Volcker raised interest rates to 12%. So there. Also,
what day? What year was that?
To 12%? Or
up 12% from where they were, I think.
No, up to 12%.
What year?
Yeah.
1978.
Oh, in 78.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then they went to 20.
Yeah. And then the next thing I want to say is I'm with Paul Ader in the chat. I'm not convinced Bitcoin is a great hedge. But anyway, let's move on.
We are not, and we are not calling Bitcoin a hedge. We are saying it helps with inflation. It is a risk asset. So don't think because the market crashes, the stock market crashes, that you're safe in Bitcoin. If the stock market crashes, Bitcoin will crash too. This correlation we've told you on the show for the last couple of years. Bitcoin is correlated with this overall market, at least in the last year. You're seeing when the market's up big, usually Bitcoin's up big. Yes, you get days like today where Bitcoin's up and the market's down. But overall, if you put those two charts on top of each other, you can see there's a clear correlation, at least right now, because Bitcoin and crypto is risk assets, and they're all being grouped. You know, money's moving in, money's moving out. But I mean, on a day like this, you know, it's interesting that crypto's higher because, like I said, I was struggling to find a stock that is higher. So crypto higher today. Is that good news for the market, Joel? Does that mean this market bounces back once again? I mean, we have come significantly off the lows.
Yeah, we're
already
25 handles off the lows.
We're up 20 handles since I woke up this morning. Again, the buy the dippers say, well, I see the pattern that's here. We go up 60, down 60, up 60, down 60, up 60, down 60. I'm buying when we're down 60. You know what? If you're buying when we're down 60, you're only down 30. You just made 25 points. So it's been working.
Yeah, it's I mean, there's the cash, which is it really, you know, maybe we'll get this. I mean, let's see. We've had we're working on her fourth inside day in a row. Wow. I mean, that I'm using the Globex ranges, folks. So when I use the Globex range, that's what you got. So maybe we'll just calm down. Maybe we'll just be the battle of 4,300 here. And, you know, I'd rather I want the ranges to calm down. That was one thing I said on Monday. The one thing that concerned me was the big ranges. And that's what we had in March and April. We had 250-point ranges. And then, you know, it calmed down, it came in, and then, you know, just a couple months ago when we were going, you know, it was like the stair step, the ranges probably got down to 30, 35, and now they're back over 70. So let's just calm down and let's have the market calm down, hold these I mean, it's a quad low right now to me. I don't care if you want, you know, if they're not the exact number. I think in this kind of market, you know, 10 handles is kind of like just a blink. So let's hold. I'd feel a heck of a lot better if we could break out of that top of that blue line that I had there. And if we take out the bottom, I think we have a quit date with the quarterly low, and that's 42.14. So there's the setup. Let's just have the market calm down. But there is one stock that's up today, and every time they get a contract, Palantir trading up sharply higher. Spencer, why don't you give us
Way off where it was last night.
Really? Yes, it is. So honestly, it's more of the same. It's always with them a new contract. And that's what happened yesterday. They announced an $823 million contract with for intelligence data with the U.S. military. And it's always a contract headline with them, I feel like.
Yeah, it is. And you know what? The story continues here. As traders, we just have to recognize patterns. The pattern has been to sell the rips every time there's a 10-15% rip in Palantir. It's been a selling opportunity. And we were ripping up, and obviously you can blame the market to a certain extent here, but we were 26.5 last night. Oh. We have already given back half of the gain. Now, are we going back flat? I highly doubt it. Is this a stock I would buy on the pullback for the day trade? At 24, you probably get the old resistance becomes new support from the last 2 days trick. So, you know, as a day trade, maybe. But it's tough when you're buying stocks last night, like people come in, I got to hold Palantir. It's up 15%. It's going up 30%. No. It's not. This is not the way this market is working. This market is working when it goes up 15%, it eventually comes back down. We've been talking about this trend. So if you're buying it last night up 15%, you're definitely not listening to pre-market prep because we're not buying the rips, we're selling the rips. Now, is this a rip here this morning when it's up 7? No, it's already given half of it back, so it's not ripped as much now. So, you know, maybe get down, like I said, to lower 24s. Maybe there actually is a buying opportunity. Does it go back? You know, if we get a rebound in the market, get back up to 26 a day, it could. But again, just follow the patterns. And if you're chasing stock price here, you are doing it backwards. It's been working that way for months.
Wow, $2 off the high. I mean, someone just caught the news and they just started bidding it. They took it to the end. This is where the after-hours session, right up at the top. And then someone just came in at 4 a.m. and said, well, hey, you know, looked at it on a market perspective. And if you took this thing home and it closed on the low of the session, you get a look at 26. And they just started whacking it. So the top of yesterday's range, I don't know if we're going to get that low today. That comes in just under 24. I don't. Here you have some risk, but you never know. You could just get a quick seller off the open and push it down. But that 2388 was the high of the yesterday, and then 24 the other day. So old resistance, new support if it gets down there.
Let's go to the
one. Can we do CEI?
I didn't know if you wanted to talk about this or not. I guess
it's a good story. Okay. I mean,
it's a great lesson. It's a great lesson.
It's a great lesson.
Yeah, so CEI, basically, yesterday there was a short report out. Was it Spruce Point? I don't remember exactly who the short report
was. I think it was Spruce Point.
Regardless, if you've been following the stock, you've been following it on social media. It's been a darling of, excuse me, Zach Morris, who's been pumping this one for a while. And it's a great lesson in knowing why you own something, right? And if the only reason you own something is because somebody else said so, then that's not a great reason. And also know when to take profits, because this thing went to $5.
I mean, we see these stocks get hot on social media, Discord, Reddit, Twitter, and, you know, and we see it come into our chat, and people can't stop talking about, when you go ticker time, the hot stock of the day is literally the one that everybody wants to talk about the most. But these smaller companies that are getting pumped or getting talked about a lot on Twitter, you know, and a lot on Reddit or Discord or whatever the social media platform is, a lot of times are just, you know, getting talked up. And obviously they pulled the rug out from under this thing yesterday. Spruce Point did. And it got hammered. You had all the short-term traders that were, you know, flying in this. So, you know, you can trade anything and you can come this stuff. Some of these are good little momentum trades. You get on them early, you know, they can continue to go. But, you know, you just got to be careful. And Spencer's making a great point. You know, just blindly buying somebody because somebody on social media told you to do it is, you know, you got to do your own homework. You got to do your own due diligence. I mean, a lot of these stocks, and we've looked at these Reddit stocks before, and we've looked at a lot of these ones from Discord before, where it seems like they get the big pop, they go up, you know, like AHT was another one too. This thing, and obviously did the reverse split, but this thing, you know, went from, you know, I think it did the 1-for-10 reverse split, so it's hard to tell on the charts, but it was like 18 all the way up to 70, it's $14. It seems like eventually they go back to where they came from. So you've just got to be careful blindly chasing these things. You don't want to get whole. I mean, BIBIG was another one that everybody was talking about. $2 to $12, great move. I mean, there was some big money made in there. But you know what? At the end of the day, there's some big money being lost now. And it seems like when the dust settles on a lot of these stocks, that a lot of these companies, especially the ones that they're, oh, it's a high short interest, you got to buy it. The reason a lot of these smaller companies have high short interest is because they're not very good companies. That they're not doing stuff exactly, you know, and there a lot of these are actually companies that are on the verge of failing. So when you're jumping in because something just has a high short interest and you think it's the next AMC or GME, a lot of times they don't work out that way. I mean, Bed Bath & Beyond, same thing. Everybody jumping back in, high short interest stock, you know, and they were moving and there was trades in there.
Ooh, look at that thing.
You know,
ooh.
30 to 53, it's back down to $14.68 here now. So all I'm saying is don't get caught holding the bag. If you want to play the momentum, play the momentum. But when the trend breaks, when you start to see the stocks start to leak and make new lows, it is absolutely time to go. We've talked about that Wish stock. It goes down every day almost. New all-time low again for Wish this morning. So these are stocks everybody was saying, oh, it's going to $69. I saw it on I see it in my Twitter stream. I don't even follow any of these, but it's just in there because there's so many people talking about it. Eventually, the talk cools and a lot of these stocks are, you know, just, you know, they're being talked up, and eventually when the talking slows down a little bit and the buzz starts to fade, there's not any new buyers to come in, and then the stock prices start to go down.
And this one, you know, I had not been looking at it, but you know, you had the run up, you had just a great 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 day run, kind of closed, you know, on the big day. I also look at that, like it got the 485. But where did it close that day? It closed at 342. So that was a $1.50 off the high. Then you had an inside day in a red candle. I mean, you know, the green candles are fine, but that should be the first warning sign. And then we can see what happened after that. Of course, the short report got it, but that's enough. That's enough on CEI.
I mean, Spruce Point, you can hate them for this. And is it, you know, the question is it manipulative to come out with the short report when you're short and, you know, you're coming out with these short reports? I mean, all of this is just gray, in my opinion. And some of it's so like gray. Not even gray. You know, like, I don't like the fact, and I think that SEC does need to crack down on some of this stuff, that somebody can load up a position, either long or short, and then completely talk their book again and again and again in social media, and then dump into it. Or in case, you know, if it's Spruce Point, and I don't know if Spruce Point was covering yesterday. I'm not sure, you know, what the situation is, but they're definitely influential. And, you know, they come out with a short report and they are short the stock. They say they're short the stock and the stock falls 50, 60%. Are they covering into their own report? I mean, they're the catalyst and then they're using that catalyst to get out. Is that the definition of manipulation? I think some people would say, I think some people would say it is. I'm not a regulator. It's not my place, but I think regulators are going to look at this type of stuff. I think they're going to look at social media platforms and these social media influencers. And I think if they are looking at social media influencers, they need to look at stuff like Spruce Point as well and make sure that, hey, this is legitimate research. And I'm Spruce Point. I'm not saying anything. I'm just using them as an example here. But I think, you know, like if you're coming out and you're covering into your own catalyst, I would have a problem with that if I was a regulator. I think the regulators should have a problem with that. If they're putting on a short and they're holding in, I think Citron usually would hold their shorts for a long time. If they're coming out and they're voicing their opinion and freedom of speech and they're holding it for months and they think it's a zero, that's a completely different story. But if you're coming out with an opinion and you're put out this short report and then you cover it that day into that catalyst, that's where I would have a problem. So I don't know Spruce Point covered yesterday. Hopefully they didn't, but I would have a problem if that's what they were doing.
Yeah, it's a good lesson. It's a great lesson, right, in owning these stocks.
The lesson is a lot of this stuff, like you can't just buy a stock and throw it in your long-term portfolio because it has high short interest. Because you know what? When you go back and you look at all these high short interest stocks, and we could do that as an exercise,
a lot of these stocks
have come down a long ways. A lot of these shorts ended up being right.
Yeah, that's not really what this wasn't a short interest thing, but it was a social media thing, and yeah.
What did they say? Did you actually? I didn't even go through the Spruce Point report. Did they talk about how it's been talked about on social media?
Spruce Point, even for them, seemed especially giddy about this one. They called it their best opportunity since 2014.
What was their price target?
Probably zero.
Yeah. I
mean, yeah.
So yeah, and you know what? If they're gonna try to hold to zero, you know, and they're doing that, you know, that's them. I don't think, what's your opinion? I think if you want to come out and give your opinion, you want to be short the stock, I think there should be some rules that you can't cover that day or the next day. I think you should have like a lockup period on yourself, because when you're that influential, you shouldn't be allowed to just, you know, take it from by using your influence. So what I would say is, and I'm not sure, like I said, I don't even know if Spruce Point has talked if they've covered. We don't know that. I'm just saying if they have, I don't think that should be allowed.
When you're hiring, it feels amazing to finally close out a job search. But what if you could get rid of the search and just match? You can with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it makes hiring all in one place so easy. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. In the minutes I've been talking to you, 23 hires were made on Indeed, according to Indeed data worldwide. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/prep. Just go to Indeed.com/prep right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/prep. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Yeah. All right.
That's just my opinion. A lot of people are going to get pissed off.
Someone's always going to be pissed off. A lot of people are underwater in this one, and I'm sorry if that's you.
That's what I feel bad about. People who are coming in on these hot social media stocks and chasing them up, and you know, maybe they're doing this on the side, and they're like, "Oh, everybody's talking about this stock, and it's going to go up a lot higher. Everybody's talking about it." When everybody is talking about the stock, it's usually more indicative of a top than a buying opportunity. So, like I used to go, and my barber, you know, you go get your hair cut, and your barber's talking about this hot stock tip that he heard. Those usually are contrarian indicators. If you're hearing about your hot stock from your barber, is a lot of times, and you see the chart of the thing and it's straight up like that, a lot of times that's the last person to have bought.
The other thing is like whether or not you agree with the reasoning behind
I think it was Carisdale. Sorry. We said Spruce. Sorry. I believe it was Carisdale, yes.
Carisdale.
So we gotta apologize.
Apologies. And the other thing is like whether you agree or not with the long thesis or the short thesis is almost irrelevant. All that really matters is the price and your tolerance for risk. Right? It's how much pain can you take. If you can take all this pain, then okay, great. If you can't, then that's on you to know that, right?
We've got a great question coming from the chat, too, from Laurie Jones. She says, Dennis, how is this different from GS and JP Morgan when they upgrade and downgrade stocks? The analysts move prices. Michael Pachter from Wedbush is not allowed to own the stocks that he covers. Not allowed. Wedbush doesn't allow that. So he cannot profit from his own opinion. That's the difference. So he can come out with an opinion and he will move price, but he cannot profit from that opinion. And most of the analysts are the same way, that the analysts are not allowed to own the stocks that they're covering, that they're talking about. So I think that's, you know, the big difference is that it's not like, you know, all of a sudden GS upgrades the stock and now we're all going to sell the stock. I mean, you know, and the analysts,
they have mixed results.
And everybody's going to make money.
Yeah, there's mixed results on those. I think what they're alluding to, Dennis Moore, is not so much the individual analyst, right? But maybe clients of the firm, you know, but a lot of these big funds, I mean, they follow these analysts and they make moves, you know, based on their recommendations.
For sure they do.
Some of their own research. So, you just have to, I mean, as far as that, I mean, whether that goes on or not, you just have to interpret the price action and you can see what happens. Like, and a great example, like Nike, I mean, that, you know, it needed a catalyst, right? It put three or four lows in the same area, right? You had an up market and it just got the teeniest little bit of catalyst, right? And it had a really good day. It's one of the best days it had since pre-earnings. So, you know, don't worry about who's doing this and who's doing that. And
worry about what you're doing.
Yeah, what you're doing. Figure it out. Like if you had, you know, if you've been, if you recognized four or five lows in the same area, you know, you're leaning on the low, the move, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Wedbush comes out and, you know, use it to your advantage. And that had a nice move yesterday. It almost filled the gap. From where it opened, it got up to 151. I mean, there was no level or anything for me or whoever had it to sell it at 151. But use these kind of things to your advantage instead of complaining about them. But now Nike, you know, down $1.31. If you're all right, so you're looking at it. It got pumped on, you know, yesterday. Hey, if you really want to own Nike here, you went what? You had a 7-point move, right? Boom. You know, not quite 6-point move. This is coming right back. 147.5, 148, you know, wow, you missed it, but now the market's giving you an opportunity. So just a quick, just wanted to use Nike as an example where, you know, these, you'll use them to your advantage instead of, you know, complaining about it.
All right, let's move on. Let's talk Constellation Brands for a second here, STZ.
Wow, we haven't talked about that in a long time.
No, we have not. You're right. Anyway, their EPS out this morning, they missed a little bit, $2.38 versus a $2.77 estimate. Sales did beat, though, $2.37 versus $2.3 billion. So mixed report, beat on the top line, miss on the bottom line.
What is the, I'm just curious, what's, the one that just got whacked and kept getting whacked? Samuel Adams?
Yeah, Sam.
Yeah, though, Sam.
And it has what's not even come back. S-A-M. Has S-A-M. Not S-A-M. Come back a schmidt even. It is right at the lows, Joel.
Oh.
This has been a story, and we've talked about the craft breweries eating the majors' lunches to a certain extent, but this is also squeeze on a lot of things. And again, you know, has Sam come down enough that, you know, eventually it starts to make sense? Maybe. You know, I like Tap maybe better. But, you know, you look at Constellation Brands. I mean, Jack Daniels isn't going away. So, you know, this is a stock that's held up fairly well. Are some of these margins going to get squeezed? You know, is there inflationary? Did they talk any inflationary concerns? I'm not sure. You know, and if there is those issues, there are Constellation Brands. I guess anybody's read the report.
This has been in a trading range for a long time. I'm just going to go to the monthlies here. And it's near the bottom of the trading range, not quite at the bottom. So, you know, look at it that way. What was the low? The low from going back, 207.35. You're 5-6 points away from that. The current low for the month is 10.59. So it's been in a trading range. It's just, let's see how long it hangs out the bottom of the trading range. If I was looking at this from like a day trading perspective, like even if you want to buy it on strength, got three highs at the 216 area. It takes that out and holds 216. I think you got some room on the upside and you're opening in. Yeah, you're opening into a couple lows at 10, well, not quite yet. 1046, 10.5. A lot of lows in the 210 handle.
Do we have a guest?
No guest today.
No guest.
I was going to say, we're a little bit late for our guest. I was just looking at the time. Time flies.
No guest.
Our guest is Spencer.
Yes, exactly right, Joel. Exactly right. Hey, what else was on the list here? There's a couple.
Baba.
Baba, yeah.
Baba's the next thing I see on that nice
screenshot. Yeah, I saw this headline. Charlie Munger, I guess through a firm that he controls, Daily Journal, which take the ticker there is DJCL. Through that firm, they've increased their Alibaba stake by 82% since July. They've bought 136,000, almost 137,000.
I thought you said Icon.
I'm sorry. No, Munger. Did I say Icon?
Yeah,
I meant Munger. I'm sorry. Munger.
He's a value guy. Stock's cheap. Munger, I mean, if you think Alibaba is not going to continue to be impacted by the China Communist Party, then, you know, that stock is dirt cheap. Yep. I don't know. I have that unknown, which is why I don't add to the position. I still have the small position in Alibaba. I kind of want to try it. I said this earlier on the show. I kind of want to try it for a long here, leaning on the low of the move. Again, whenever I enter a trade, first thing I look at is where am I getting out if I'm wrong? So $3, the low of the move is 138.43. So if I think the low of the move could be in, which it had a nice day yesterday, it wanted to rally. It was a good tape yesterday. It's selling off in a bad tape here today, so kind of going with the overall market. I kind of like the trade. I like the setup. Again, you know, if the stock takes out that low, though, I got to get out. This would be the trade portion of it, not the long-term investment. So if I was trying it for a trade here, buying at 141.64 here right now, which is the offer, I'd stop myself out under 138.43.
A lot of red. I love to see. I mean, let's get a green monthly candle here too.
It's so oversold. It kind of wanted to go green yesterday, and then the market started rolling. It was having a really good day actually, and then the market started rolling over late afternoon, and it just kind of hung out. But it held on to those gains, not bad. I mean, I don't know. It's so oversold. It makes me want to buy it, but that's the contrary to me, right? I'm probably wrong.
Wow. If you're looking for it, if you're doing a short-term trade on this one, you know, you got caught up yesterday, that 38.43, you're hoping that's going to hold. Wow. This is just, let's go to the daily here. What was yesterday's high? 43.83. If you want to target on the upside, But we're holding last month's low, so that's good. Maybe get a green candle. In order to get a green candle in October, I know we're early. We got to close quite a bit higher than this. That would be 148 is what we're buying. Bad month after bad month. Yeah, close last month at 148.05. Let's get a green candle out of Bob before we get too excited.
The Bobster.
And speaking of analyst ratings and upgrades and downgrades, I thought the Goldman downgrade to a couple airlines this morning was interesting. They downgraded JetBlue and Southwest, I believe, were the two that I saw. I'm not saying there's not more, but those are the two that I saw. Oh, no, it was American. American and JetBlue. American got downgraded to sell. JetBlue got downgraded to neutral at Goldman Sachs.
I mean, they're selling a little bit of the rallies. They have rallied a little bit from the lows. They're up 15% here. American Airlines cases is up almost 20% here in the last 3 weeks. So they're using that, and they're looking at the 22 resistance and saying that COVID isn't going away anytime soon. I shouldn't say what they're saying because I didn't read the note, but that's what I'm thinking on. And it's like, well, I still don't kind of want to own airlines for the simple reason I don't believe the business traveler is coming back. And
nope.
You know, you do have a reopening trade that is going to happen here, though. So I don't want to be short the airlines either. I think I'm more neutral on them.
Just given along the lows of the pre-market, we did get down to 20.55. Ah, man, got a little gap to fill here. 20.30, where's the gap that I'm looking at? The top of that range, filling that gap that you had, it was a really teeny one. Boy, in the kind of in the middle of nowhere, but you had that nice move from 18 and a half to 22. Maybe you come back into this $20 area, but watch out, you know, on days like this, because if like you say, oh, Goldman's going to be out there buying today, or their clients are going to be buying, you'll find out off the open. You know, you get that opening print, and then you'll turn off that perhaps in low, but. Really, I've just been real neutral on the airlines, and this stock is in the middle of nowhere. How's the Jets ETF looking at? JETS, Jets.
Come up quite a bit. We've had a little reopening trade here. It's actually been performing fairly
well. That looks better than the American Airlines, yeah. Yeah.
Well, some stocks like LUV have really come up, so. I'm torn on them. They've had a pretty good run, though. It's not like you're buying at the bottom here, but I guess if you're liking the relative strength, I get it. Next. Ticker time. What are we?
Let's do some ticker time. Drop some tickers in the chat for us. Noah says, look in Marriott, MAR. Okay.
That's been a crazy run.
Can you
That's
believe this thing really holding nice up run. Like
that
this?
That stock's almost at all-time highs.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
You guys, watch Money Mitch.
Well, okay, tell me why Marriott's at all-time highs.
It's because it just started changing. Look at Hilton. It led.
Why are all these
things
at all-time
highs? We want to know why.
So what happened here was an adjustment period between what was really going to happen from the reopening trade, right? There was a big lift in the summer, so they're expecting to get good earnings. A lot of people are expecting to see good earnings come out of these. And the next thing is, at this point, you're seeing even Airbnb do well, VAC do well, which are their longer terms, their Airbnb. And I think at this point, hotels have already gotten back to normal business, at least hotels. Airlines are going to still struggle completely. Hotels have adjusted, and they've been doing well.
There's a reopening trade for hotels, but what I've, you know, been concerned about is the Airbnb. I mean, we had, you know, a lot of these hotels, and if you go back, maybe this isn't the best example, but if you do go back to 20, well, we got to go way back. I guess they were all near highs really before the COVID thing started. I don't know. I don't want to be
tired of
hotels
at
all-time highs. I'm sorry. I'm just not in.
I was supposed to go to a hotel this weekend. That's not.
I went to some hotels. I'm not against hotels at this point in time. I think, you know, they've gotten better with obviously dealing with COVID, and we do have a reopening trade there. But I just think, like, you know, a lot of the reopening stocks are still significantly off their all-time highs. And why are the hotels just forgiven?
I think maybe what they did during to adjust to COVID, they probably just cut a lot of expenses is what I'm thinking. And, you know, so if you cut your expenses, I know when we stayed in a hotel in Philly, the hotel was fairly busy, but they didn't have daily, you know, rooms or maid service coming in. So, perhaps, you know, if you cut your expenses significantly, then you don't have to make as much money. Marriott's traded down a couple bucks today. I know someone asked about it in the chat. The all-time high, you really want to see a bust above 159.98. That's the all-time high. That was back in February. But I would just keep an eye on the closes up here. I know it's down $2. You had a closed off the low. You took out yesterday's low. And I just see this consolidation. I see three closes in a 155 handle. So let's take the close from yesterday. Get back above 150, 155.44. That kind of splits two lows. I'd feel better if it made a close over 156 and then made a challenge to high the move. I think the longer it hangs out here, maybe you get some profit taking. But you can't argue with that chart. I mean, hotel, you know, it's bad.
I usually like buying stocks at all-time highs as trades. I just can't keep it because of hotels. I like Airbnb. I've liked Airbnb for a while. I think Airbnb on a pullback is a buy.
Look at WH. Wyndham Hotels.
I was supposed to go to a Wyndham this weekend. True story.
Look at that chart.
Where were you going?
Cedar Point. I've never been to Cedar Point, and we booked a trip to go this weekend, and that's not going to happen.
Cedar Point's fun. If you like roller coasters, I get nauseous, but
I wouldn't know.
I wouldn't know. Fun. Best ticker symbol ever.
Fun. That's made a nice comeback, too.
But not all-time highs.
No, exactly. No, I know.
I mean, all-time high on Fun is $72. It's $45. So I just don't know why the hotels are at all-time. I get the reopening trade. I just think it's like if you're coming in there and saying, wow, this is a great reopening trade going to happen. I'm going to buy hotels. It's already happened. That trade's happened. It's been a great, and it's held on a lot better. Maybe they continue to go higher. Maybe we're all just going to do hotels. You know, but I just think there's competition coming there too. And I like Airbnb. I'd rather own Airbnb than a hotel, even though valuation's kind of nuts.
Someone asked about car. Doesn't stop.
That was the best thing for them, the Hertz bankruptcy.
Yeah. Yep.
Car does not stop. I watch Avis Budget and I scratch my head all the time. Props to Steve Grasso on Fast Money, who's been calling this for the last year. Steve, if you're listening, wow. What a call, man. I mean, he was talking about this at $30, $126. So I don't know if he's still in it, but holy mackerel.
Look at the mark
on this
one.
Anybody saw this happen. Wow.
Big day yesterday.
It just goes up. It just goes up.
Wow.
Maybe eventually this is like buying nosebleed rocket ships. Like I can't chase them here, but I tell you, if you're in there, just trail your stops up. That's a hell of an uptrend.
Yeah, it is. It closed right near its high yesterday, too, 28.78. So I don't even know if there's a seller. Big update yesterday. I mean, the market was good, but that blew it away on a percentage basis. So that's the only number you got, 128.87. And what's Hertz stock now? HTZFKY or something like that?
I don't know. No, it's too many letters. I don't know.
When Hertz went bankrupt, and including us, we all thought, okay, well, Carr is, you know, going to have some trouble here, too.
It's HTCGQ. HTZGQ.
HTZ.
Too many symbols. Once they're over four symbols, I don't even look at them ever.
I bet you it's higher.
You said Henry, Tom, Zebra.
Next.
You looking for Hertz?
Yeah.
HTZZ.
Oh, there's more than one? Oh, there's more than one. Okay, I'm sorry. You're right. That's correct, too. HTZZ.
Okay.
Right. Gotcha. I think this is a perfect example of what Dennis just mentioned. When you have a major competitor that all of a sudden just gets wiped out, that's going to superly affect a company that was competing hand in hand and now gets a major lift because it's the leader. It's like, let's say if Android disappeared, what do you think would happen
to Apple?
Hertz
didn't disappear, though. Hertz stock got wiped out and it's over, but they're still operating.
Yeah, they're still around.
So, which I don't totally understand why, you know, that would be that. I totally agree with you, Mitch, in the case where you get a company that's just gone and ceases to exist, but Hertz is still operating. So I don't. To a point, I think the car started as a massive short squeeze, and to be honest with you, I don't even know if it ever ended. I mean, anybody who's like, okay, well, it's 40, it's not going to 50. And that was 128. I mean, this might, you know, I don't know what the short interest. Let's go look at the short interest in car. This is the first time I've been looking at it. But
hey, I'm gonna hop here. It's 9 o'clock. Time flies when you're having fun. Spencer, are you gonna do the at the close show? You're gonna see how you feel.
I should be good, Joel. I should be
okay.
Good.
Okay. All right, now, feel better. Yeah. I'm gonna hop. We missed a lot of symbols here. I'm gonna hop over to pre-market.
20%. I have 20%. So there has been a significant short squeeze here. I'm sure it's just got annihilated on this.
Yep. All right. It's 9 o'clock. We made it through the day with me being very technologically limited. So thanks to Mitch. Thanks to Dennis and Joel for carrying us. I mean, not that they don't carry us most days. Thanks to all of you in our chat. The plan is I'll still be here in the mornings and in the afternoons doing stuff. Just got to get some more tech. That's my biggest issue right now. But thanks for bearing with us this morning, everyone. We appreciate it. I appreciate it. And Dennis is gone, so it's just me now. I'm going to hop off the stream here, and live trading will start in about, I don't know, 5-10 minutes, somewhere in that window. I will not be on, but it'll be Mitch, it'll be Ryan, it'll be Zunaid, and they'll be rolling with you guys. And that's the plan. So, Mitch, I will see you. I'll be watching you, but I won't be seeing you on the stream. So,
well, good before luck today. You go, Spencer.
Yeah. Yep.
I heard there could be an event that I can learn some cannabis.
Oh, you must be referring to that graphic at the bottom of the screen there.
What?
Yes. It's been up there the entire time. I should probably mention that. The Cannabis Capital Conference, which I may or may not be at now, is next week. It's next Thursday and Friday. BZCannabis.com. We've got executives from like 15, 20 of the top publicly traded cannabis companies. Trulieve, Cresco, to name a couple. Go to bzcannabis.com to learn more. But this is always one of our better events. Because
without a doubt.
Yeah. We've been doing cannabis events now for like 5 years, 4 or 5 years, and they're always really good. So and if you're interested in the space at all, cannot recommend it enough. It'll be a hybrid event, in person and virtual. So
I think it's very important right now, especially to learn about your cannabis companies before we get deregulation in the federal level. Of course, this is what I'm looking forward towards in 2022. We don't know if this is going to happen. Also, banking being talked right now. So it's a very important time in the industry. I would definitely say check it out.
And you guys know that I am long and strong. I've been long Trulieve, Cresco, Curaleaf, and Green Thumb. Now for a little while. So this is a space that I am personally interested in. So very, very excited for next week. And I hope I can make it. We'll know more in a couple days. But anyway, that'll be a wrap, guys. Drop me a like. Can I get some sympathy likes? Can we get some sympathy likes? Come on. I feel like I at least deserve that. All right, I'm gonna end the stream here, and live trading will start in a few. Everyone have a great day. Good luck at the open.
Did you know nearly all stock price changes of 10% or more result from a single news headline? That's right. News headlines have a unique ability to drive stock prices up or down. These news catalysts create trading opportunities every day. All you need is a little help to reach out and take them. And if you're looking to grow your portfolio, it doesn't matter if your investment budget is small or big. An easy-to-read stream of news headlines will increase your opportunities to profit from price changes in the stock market, consolidate a knowledge-based investment strategy, and grow your portfolio. All you need is Benzinga Pro and its powerful news alerts, price tracking, and portfolio monitoring to make a positive change in your trading performance. We've already helped thousands of retail traders across the world, and they could not be happier. Increase your market knowledge, boost your exposure to big movers, and make informed trades before major price changes. The opportunities are all around you. Subscribe now, and we'll skyrocket your portfolio today.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 Dream Beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get one-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.